Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa, a spiritual community that promotes global transformation through personal transformation. At the center, we are motivated by a compelling vision of a healthy, loving world, which we call the Global Heart Vision. This vision inspires us to bring the gifts of compassion and loving kindness to the world through our ministries and teaching. What you are about to hear is a recording of a message delivered at the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa. Feel welcomed. Feel at home.
Hi. Hi, everybody. You know what? We pause over here. We have to wait for the sign from the booth. You know, is it okay to go? It's almost like being on live TV. I feel so famous. And is that the sound of a baby in the sanctuary? Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much for bringing your baby with. You know, when I heard that sound, I thought of my grandmother, of course, because she had this ability to just be centered and allow the world, and there was just the sound of children all around her. And it did not disturb her in the slightest. They always think about me. I have to have incense and bells and peace in order to allow the presence. No, it's the sounds of life that enhance our experience. And I'm so thrilled that you brought your baby with you to the center today. And that is part of the reason why we wear masks, to protect the vulnerable and to create an atmosphere where it is safe to bring our children to the sanctuary. And so I want to begin by saying thank you to our community for observing the mask requirement here at the Center for Spiritual Living. I appreciate you very, very much. I went on my first flight in almost 2 years last week, and it was quite interesting. I had to go to home office in Denver, in Colorado, and oh my goodness, the flight attendants, such compassion, because people are grumpy about it. You know, whatever their philosophy or point of view is, this one flight attendant said, look, I just want to get you to your destination. And in order to do that, here are the house rules. And I was just watching the stress on her face. And I just thought to myself, I am so grateful to you who treat our staff and our volunteers with such kindness, and so that we can be here together. And for those of you online who are taking your time to return to the center, I appreciate you, that we all move at our own pace and our own comfort, and we will make this work. We will get through it together, and we are indeed doing that. So thank you for that. And you know, if you've got questions about it, we have our virtual social hall this afternoon. Reverend Russ will remind you about that. That's 1 p.m. on Zoom, so you can come and talk to us about that. Now, I also want to say before we get to the topic that we have a celebrity in the house today. I know. You might remember her. Past president of the board and practitioner emeritus, Kelly Metcalf, is here visiting us from out of town. And she's back over there. And I bumped into her on the street. And so now she had to come to service because she saw me over there. So welcome, welcome. And I do love to lurk on Facebook and see our community celebrating the passing of loved ones and birthdays. I know Karen Norton had a birthday recently, so congratulations. She turned, that's hers to tell you what they, and to see so many of you, it's a wonderful thing. So thank you very, very much. Just take a look around you and see all of these people who have been building spiritual community together for, what, 60-something years in Sonoma County. And think about the people who will come, and the more babies, please, that will come, and more children, and bless our community. Now, our topic this morning is free your mind, and the rest will follow. Now, this topic comes from a set of suggested topics that come from our home office. We call them the global themes. They're suggested themes. And I thought I'd tell you how it works. Each year, a group of people get together, ministers, practitioners, and members, and they vision, they call forth the idea of what does next year want to be about. And then they write summary points for the messages, and they create graphics and text and suggested reading, and they distribute it to the centers and study groups, and then those centers who want to use it can. So right now, today, people of centers for spiritual living all over, in other countries too, some of them are talking about the same topic. And it's particularly useful for a new minister, say, for example, who doesn't have a staff and 100 volunteers and has to do everything from make the coffee to prepare the sermon, to have a resource. So it's a wonderful thing that is happening. So our topic for many, many people this morning is free your mind and the rest will follow. Well, goodness, I was thinking about that, free your mind, and I got to thinking about Reverend Russ welcoming the first-time visitors. Do some of you remember at the Luther Burbank Center how we used to ask visitors to stand up and we would give them a... Oh, I know Stephen Hahn was very fond of that. And then, you know, as the stem prices went up, we weren't able to keep up with the visitors, and so we moved to carnations. And that was so lovely. And now we were thinking of bringing it back, but then the pandemic happened. But I thought of that question. Are you here for the first time? And if so, please stand up. And I thought, well, everybody should stand up. Because this has never happened before. You have never been the you that you are right now. So if it's your first time, it means this is the time. So freedom is when we free ourselves from identifying with all of the things, anything that distracts us from the reality of this moment where we are showing up fresh and new for the first time. Identifying with things that distract us from the truth of our being. What do you identify with? Well, I remember reading in Zen Buddhism, there's this idea that there are 108 delusions that humankind is prone to identifying with. And they occur in the past, they occur in the present, and they occur in the future, and they have to do with events and identity and body and title and this and that. If you're like me, they take me out of the realization that every moment is fresh and new, and I am here for something magnificent to happen in me right now. It got so quiet. I read the Irish poet John O'Donohue 2 weeks ago, and I have more for you from his book, Rebel River. He writes, "Let there be an opening into the quiet that lies beneath the chaos, where you find the peace you did not think possible, and see what shimmers within the storm." Let there be an opening. Now that relates to our spiritual practices that Reverend Russ was talking about. The spiritual practices where we learn to express our lives new and fresh at the highest possible vibration we are capable of doing at any given moment. Well, that's not how all of us come to the Center for Spiritual Living. I know how I came. I came because of the promise that I would learn how to control my life. I came because I had the hope of manifesting things in my life. Did anybody else come that way? You and me? You know, to acquire some desired outcome because things weren't going well. So now, what if we think about this quote and this idea of freeing our mind, and what if we think about spiritual practice, like affirmative prayer, as the process of unclogging our mind to do what the poet says, to create an opening, to let there be an opening to the peace that is present beneath the chaos. And we can do that by asking ourselves the question, what wants to happen right now? I talk about this often because it makes such an impression upon me. Whenever we have a class or a meeting, we'll say something like, let's take a moment and enter into the consciousness of prayer. Or we might even say it more practically, let's settle down and center. Whatever it is we say, it's an invitation to let there be an opening. And then you can hear and feel and sense the room shifting, settling down as people stop fidgeting, make themselves available to the meditation of the prayer. And soon enough, there is a tangible quietness like this one that was always available, that was always there underneath the activity, the chaos of coming to the class. It was always there. Always. Recently, I had a very stressful day. Have you had any of those? I had one of those days where things were just coming at me from every direction. And you know, nowadays can be the text and Facebook Messenger and email and this and that. And I could feel myself attaching to, identifying with these things and competing for my attention in various degrees of urgency and importance. And very soon, my whole body was tense. Anybody else have this? You know the story. Is it your story too? So I thought to myself, well, I've learned at the Center for Spiritual Living about spiritual practice. Why don't I do it? Why don't I do an affirmative prayer? Now, I'm telling on myself here because I noticed my first inclination was to do a prayer to get rid of the problem. To fix the world. Let's go back to that what if. What if I used my prayer time to let there be an opening to the peace that is always present beneath the chaos, to the quiet that is always available and there? What if I shifted my attitude and instead of fighting the chaos, rather accept that it is there, and at the same time, notice what else is simultaneously true and available? Spiritual practice. I'm remembering some common misconceptions about spiritual practice. Number one, you must be able to control your mind and your thinking. Good luck. Number two, it takes a lot of time and dedication. Number three, and when you get it right, you'll have an otherworldly, mind-blowing experience and your life will be changed. So let's look at those. You must be able to control your thinking and your mind. Well, in the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord Krishna says, well, that's like trying, not the Lord, it was Arjuna who says it. It's like trying to make the wind change its direction. Good luck. So it's more about adopting an attitude of watching, noticing, letting, like the song said, allowing, observing. What is the mind doing? The second one, it takes a lot of time and dedication. Well, actually, I found that the more fierce the instructions are, the less I want to do it. So I started with small bites of time, just moments of breathing, and we'll talk about that in a moment, of noticing the quiet. And the more little moments of noticing I took, the more it became a habit, so that over time, except for that stressful day and all the other ones, over time, my inclination became more and more about noticing what is present, what is spiritually present, as I moved further and further away from reaction. How good am I at it? Ask Kevin. We're all on a journey of getting better. Then the last misconception, you will have an otherworldly experience, mind-blowing. Well, actually, I think it's more natural than that. Spiritual practice creates in me what I call a return to my natural state of being. A normal state of being. Unreactive. Kind. Watching. I wrote about it in that book, The Power of Meditation, and I went and looked up what did I say about our natural state of being. In that interior world of silent, nurturing peace is where we encounter ourselves in the form of our undisturbed, innocent self. Oh, that's an affirmation. Myself is undisturbed. My spirit is innocent. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of chaos and complication, myself, the self of me, big S self, is undisturbed. Reminds me of that hymn that Enya made popular. Remember that? My life goes on in endless song above earth's lamentation. Above the chaos, below the chaos, wherever you are, the chaos is, and quiet, peace is always available. In other words, the book continues to say, there is a frame of mind in which you are balanced, unpressurized, unpressured, not manipulated. And that frame of mind is available primarily, it seems, when you are alone in quietness. I had a chat with a friend of mine. We've been friends for many, many years. He is of the same faith tradition as we are. He attends Centers for Spiritual Living. And he told me on the phone he was so excited to attend his first one-week silent retreat. And it was taking place at a monastery. And off he went. And when he came back, I asked him, how did it go? And he said it was terrifying. He said he was not allowed to take a phone, a book, a notepad, or anything, not a single thing with him. And he thought, well, I can do this. And he said within the first half hour, his mind was going nuts, you know, like, feed me, like the little Shop of Horrors, Audrey 2, you know, feed me, Seymour, give me something to do. And I said to him, what did you do? He said, I had to sit down and have a chat with my mind. And I had to talk very gently to it, like I was talking to a sibling. I said, I know this is tough. We can do it. Let's give it our best. I'll be here with you. And I'm listening to him, and I said, and then what happened? And he said, and then something happened. That which was painful and slow and challenging kind of sped up and morphed. And he said, I lost track of time. The world didn't stop. Arguments in my mind still rose up. I still had to brush my teeth. I would sometimes flee to how to flee from here. He said, but the pace and feeling of time shifted, and I noticed that there was something in me beneath all of the conversations of my surface mind that was not exactly cheering me on, but holding me. And I experienced a profound centeredness. I'm not recommending that you go on a week-long silent retreat. We can modify to do what I was saying earlier on. Just take a moment, any moment in the day when you notice stress or chaos, to take a breath and to sink into the quiet that is there below the chaos. And even ask maybe, what is also present here? What wants to happen through me? Again, our prayer time and our practice can be less about making something happen and more about noticing the quiet that lies beneath the surface of everything. Now, you can call that quiet the divine if you want. We sometimes call it the mind of creation. We call it the presence sometimes. And prayer is what we do to welcome it by letting there be an opening for it to rise up within us, to guide us in our thoughts and in our speaking and in our action. So you see, the spiritual practice is not to reduce us into non-action. It's to introduce action that is rooted in the truth of our being, in the newness of the moment that we are in all the time. Now, our founder, Dr. Ernest Holmes, in the book, The Science of Mind, he wrote the same thing that the Irish poet was saying, but in different words. He said this, "The highest realization we can have is a recognition of the omnipresence of spirit." He's saying the same thing. The everywhere presentness of spirit. And he goes on to say that this recognition will set greater possibilities in motion and will automatically provide a better concept of life. So that's the "and the rest will follow" part. Free your mind and the rest will follow. Realize the presence. Make a space, a place for the peace, and the rest will follow. There's even a biblical phrase that says the same thing. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and then what happens? I guess we're not Bible readers here. And all else will be added to you. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. And the teacher of the Bible, Jesus of Nazareth, told us where heaven is. It's a state of consciousness and it's located within. Turn within. Allow an opening for the peace. Realize the presence of the divine. And the rest will follow. So that's my work for this week. I'm going to practice it. Let there be an opening for the quiet that lies beneath the chaos. Let me recognize the presence of the divine and trust it to flow through me and to guide me. And what will I do in those times when I get all stressed out and when I forget? I'm going to do what my friend suggested. I'm going to have a conversation with myself like I'm talking to a beloved sibling, gently and kindly. to lead us into our prayer time, here is an adaptation from something our founder wrote that relates to this. Just like fire warms the body and food strengthens us, like sunshine raises our spirits, so there is an infusion of power when we recognize the divine through our prayer. And it is essential to our well-being because it stimulates us and it lets in a flood of inspiration. So we learn to go within and to speak as though there were a presence there that knows, and we take the time to sense it and feel spirit and to let it flow through our entire being. So I invite you now to take a breath in with me and to exhale, letting your eyes close as we join in prayer. There is only one life, one mind, one creative force in the universe by whatever name I call it, spirit, nature, divine mind, and it always responds. I cannot separate myself from this presence, nor can I remove myself from its care. I am one with this eternal loving presence, and I recognize that this is also true for all people and all beings everywhere. So today I let there be an opening for me to live in full awareness that this mind, this peace, is my source, and that my life is unfolding beautifully. I realize that I am divinely guided to right choices and right actions. Even when challenges appear, I am aware of this presence. Spirit leads me every step of the way, and I don't have to do it all by myself. There is a presence within me, so I relax and I accept. And I allow the highest good to flow through me in the form of whatever it is, health, loving relationships, suitable employment, financial abundance, comfort. And I follow and allow. Now with a grateful heart, I accept that there is no limit in the spiritual universe, and so I allow its limitlessness to move through me to create greater opportunities for connection and expansion. And I'm grateful that it is so. I release this, my word of prayer, into that creative field called mind, and I release it with confidence, understanding that spirit responds always, that spirit is the source of my substance, that spirit is my courage and my comfort, that spirit is my guide, always present forever. And so it is.